Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, December 6, 2021. We are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 151, the first full paragraph. Today's readers are Patty D. reading the 12 Steps, Joanne L. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Betsy H., Lois P., and Shelley E. Our reference numbers for the last two meetings, Sunday, yesterday, December 5th, the special edition, the conference code is 18,190 or 18190. And this morning's December 6th, 7th a.m. Eastern meeting, the reference code is 18,193 or 18193. Our newcomer greeter today will be Diane B., and announcements will be given by Robin P., and thank you, Melanie C., for getting us started. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Patty D. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning. This is Patty D., compulsive overeater in Algoma, Wisconsin. These are the 12 steps of OA. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thank you, Patty D. And Joanne L., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Good morning. Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, world. This is Joanne L., compulsive overeater in Rhode Island. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L., for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 151, the first full paragraph, and I will ask Betsy H. to get us started. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you. This is Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader in California. Chapter 11, A Vision for You. For most normal folks, drinking means conviviality, companionship, and colorful imagination. It means release from care, boredom, and worry. It is joyous intimacy with friends and a feeling that life is good. But not so with us in those last days of heavy drinking. The old pleasures were gone. They were but memories. Never could we recapture the great moments of the past. There was an insistent yearning to enjoy life as we once did, and a heartbreaking obsession that some new miracle of control would enable us to do it. There was always one more attempt and one more failure. Yeah, and this is such a good description of how it is to be in the active food addiction. It is a heartbreaking obsession, and just trying again and again and again to control the food, and wanting to have that old pleasure that I remember from the past of when eating the food made me feel better. It always just trying to get that feeling better, because I think for me, at least as an addict, a lot of times I don't feel good and I'm wanting something to feel better. I'm not feeling good mentally or emotionally, maybe physically too. I just want something to feel better, and that insistent yearning to have that feeling from the past, even though maybe the last 150 times I binged on food or ate those binge foods, I wasn't able to stop and it was a nightmare. It's something that malfunctions in my brain. I can't even remember the pain of the last binge. And just that cycle of just one more attempt and one more failure. It's really devastating. You know, it's a disease. It's a tough disease, the disease of addiction. And I'm very grateful that we have a treatment for this disease. You know, there's some other types of diseases, maybe purely physical diseases, where there isn't any treatment. But at least for this one, we do have a treatment. There's probably many treatments, but this particular one in the 12-step programs I found to be very effective. And it's a treatment of putting down the food and then working the 12 steps and continuing to work the 12 steps every day. And it doesn't even cost anything. And it doesn't, you don't even have to go and get a bunch of education or go visit another city to go to some you know, a famous hospital. All you have to do is pick up this simple toolkit of the program, the 12 steps, and now it can be done from anywhere if you have a phone or internet connection. So with that, I think I will pass.
Thanks so much, Betsy H., for getting us started. I am now going to invite people to give me your names if you'd like to share. And please remember, we ask that you limit your share to every third day on this meeting in order that others might share their experiences too.
So, Melanie C.
I hear a lot of noise in the background. I don't know who that is.
Stephen G.
Stephen G.
Rachel R.
Robin L.
L.
Robin L. And who came after Robin?
Nancy L.
Nancy L.
Robin P.
Robin P. And who came after Robin P.?
Tamara C.
Tamara C. And anyone else? Okay, that's a great lineup. Let me make sure I have you all correctly. Melanie C., Stephen G., Rachel R., Robin L., Nancy L., Robin P., and Cameron C. Did I miss anyone? Okay, Melanie C., please get us started.
Good morning, Kathy K. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm recovered in Oregon this morning. It's still dark here. I was reading this morning, and because of the season, just things kept flooding back, because I do remember a time when getting together with these family things, whether it be a holiday or a family reunion or something, the focus was always around the food, and it was such an exciting time. And this, of course, was before I knew that I had any trouble in the way of my relationship to food, and there was lovely times, and we'd bring our favorite dishes, and we would think all week about what it could be like, at least I did anyway, and I wanted to be the best, the first and the most, you know, with the best potluck dish, and it was really lovely, and people enjoyed it, and I got lots of wonderful compliments, And during those times, we look forward to it. You know, I was able to get out of the slumps and into something to do that would seem to have some sort of purpose to do it, just as silly as a potluck or something like that after a fraternal or, you know, sorority kind of a thing. But, you know, there, as time went on, it changed. It shifted, and it wasn't so pretty anymore. It was really rather painfully ugly. And the relationships were falling by the by, one by one, and I didn't know that it was connected to this disease of the obsession of the mind and the allergy of the body. I had no idea, but it was pretty sad. I can remember then it, in those last days, the way that I was eating. You know, I was up to almost 300 pounds at that particular point, and I wasn't bathing or showering for weeks on end, you know, brushing my teeth, nothing, not even getting out of the same clothes I was in for days and days and days, and I slept in them as well. And I couldn't wait to get the kids on the bus at 7:30 in the morning. I was angry when they got off the bus at 4:30 in the afternoon, and it just got to not only the food, I had to eat so much food to keep the thing down, you know, the thing down, the character defects that was hurting everybody around me. I would sit in front of a TV set with bags, big bags, family-sized bags of things, and chips and sour creams and salsas, and then I'd be back and forth with a spoon in the ice cream container out of the freezer, and I stunk. And it was disgusting. It really reminded me of those pictures that Bill writes about being so horrible in this cups about this particular disease. And I tried so hard every January 1st to put this thing together again, thinking it was a diet, and then getting the therapist wrapped around again so that, because I thought it was mental illness in that such a way. The 12 steps have saved my life and turned me around. Thank God I'm here today, Pastor.
Thank you, Melanie C. Whoops. Sorry about that. Okay. Stephen G., please share with us.
Good morning. I'm Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Canada. I'm in a busy place with some background, so I apologize for that. I hope you could hear me. I like this, the first couple of lines. For most normal folks, drinking means conviviality, companionship, and colorful imagination. For me, as a compulsive overeater, towards the end, overeating meant complete social isolation and severe physical and emotional pain. In the next paragraph, it talks about the last days of heavy drinking. And in the book prior to this, it's referred to it several times in different ways, one of them being quicksand surrounded us in all directions, or we were left with only two options, either to go on until the bitter end, or accept the spiritual toolkit that was laid at our feet. Also refers to the jumping off point. These are the points where we're towards the last days of our heavy compulsive overeating. And this is the point where I now could be helped, because I was now completely hopeless. I'd come to understand and to accept that this disease was permanent, it was progressive, and it was fatal. So I stopped trying to solve it using my self-will. And once I stopped that, then there was no further, as the book says, more attempts and more failures. I did what was necessary, what was presented to me, which was entire abstinence plus a spiritual solution as a result of working the 12 steps. And lo and behold, I'm now free. And now I can again experience that feeling, not with food, but with other aspects of life, that conviviality, companionship, and colorful imagination. And what a gift by the grace of a higher power. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Stephen G. Rachel R., please share with us.
Hi, this is Rachel. So I'm reading this first paragraph. For most normal folks, drinking means conviviality, companionship, and colorful imagination. It means release from care, boredom, and worry, and the joyous intimacy with friends and feeling that life is good. So this was just really clear for me yesterday when I was at a family party at a restaurant, and I was able to just choose my abstinent food and be with my family and, you know, celebrate with them and chat with them and, you know, bond with them. And it was great because I wasn't focused on my food. I was focused on my, my relationships with my family members. And it just shows me that how far that I've come, how much this program has really made a difference in my life in terms of having it not be about the food anymore and not being like what's on someone else's plate? What is someone else eating? What is someone else doing with their food? Or is that food better than my food? It's really just, being of service, being there with my family, creating, building relationships and not being focused on the food. I was so food focused before that I wasn't present. And unfortunately, at the end of our evening, which we had a really great evening, two of my cousins got into a physical altercation. And since my face wasn't in a plate of dessert, I was able to go and help out and break up that fight. But I probably would have been eating and not even paying attention to what was going on at the end. But as funny as that was, not funny, but sad. But at the same time, I was like, oh, okay, I can do something here. I can be of service and help, break this up as my other cousins were doing. But interestingly, I had kept my second box. I had cut my food in half, so I was right on my portion sizes, and I left my food at the restaurant to take the one I was going to take home. So I think that was good because I probably didn't eat that food anyway. But this whole paragraph just speaks to last night's events, and I'm just super, super thankful. Even though the event ended badly, I was able to be present and available with my family, and that is a huge miracle of this program. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Rachel R. Robin L., please share with us.
This is Robin L. from Connecticut. I'm a compulsive overeater and grateful to be here today. I really like this paragraph. There was a time in my life when eating out and partying meant conviviality, companionship, and that release from care, boredom, and worry. And I thought I was having a really great time going to all these restaurants and partying. And at the end, it always felt awful. I always was, feeling bloated, feeling miserable, would get on the scale and punish myself and go on a diet and then go back to the thing of partying. And trying to get those moments from the past back. And it never worked for me. And I was looking for that new miracle of control. And that never happened. I've never been able to have that control until I came into recovery and learned a different way of living, a different way of life, a different way of eating, and being able to have those relationships with people without the food. And that took me a while to feel comfortable around food, but still be able to be with my friends. So that line where it says there was always one more attempt and one more failure, and that's what the dieting was all about. I thought I could solve that problem, and I didn't realize it was a spiritual emptiness that I had. But today I know that, and I don't have to have excess food, but I can still have relationships with people. And more importantly, I can have healthy relationships with other people. And that's all I have for today. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Robin L. Nancy L., please share with us.
Thank you. This is Nancy L., and I live in Georgia. This paragraph brings back a lot of memories for me, memories where I tried to go and be like normal people, normal folks. But I've known for a long time that there was something abnormal about me and the way I viewed food. When I would go to the fellowships and the family outings and try to eat like normal folks, I would eat the whole time I was there, I was angry. I was not a good companion to anybody. I was not a good friend to anybody. I had no colorful imaginations. I have never enjoyed fellowships and gatherings with food. As soon as I would hear that there's going to be one and I'm invited, I get angry. I would get angry. When I realized I had to make a covered dish, I would make a covered dish, but I would make it in anger. And I would take my angry covered dish to the fellowship and sit it down. And I don't know if I don't know what people thought. I don't. It really doesn't matter to me. I know what I was thinking. I was thinking, let's hurry up and get this over. And I wanted to hurry up and end every fellowship that I was involved in that had food around it. And the reason I wanted it to end is so I could go and be alone and eat my alcoholic foods. And I would leave every fellowship, every covered dish I've ever gone to. I would go back to my home, get in the room by myself, and I would have me a 2 or 3 hour binge, hating myself, being sick as a dog. And I knew there was something wrong with my relationship with food, but I didn't know exactly what to do with it. But once I found OA, I had to go to any means. When I was invited to a fellowship where food was involved, I had to decline because I figured out that's like poison to me. I can't go to it. And I really removed myself from it. If it was fellowship, I would go to my home and eat a decent meal. But that had to come after OA. That had to come when I was willing to give up anything for my health, for my spirituality, and for my emotional well-being. The last fellowship I was invited to, I went and I saw this beautiful cake on the table. Okay, I'll wind up. And I literally looked at that beautiful cake and thought, nope, that's poison. And I had neutrality. And I wouldn't have had that had it not been for this program. And I thank you for you people for being on the line. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Nancy.
I pass.
Thank you, Nancy L. Robin P., please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And I am so happy to be on the line today. We've been in, I think someone's unmuted. If you guys could just check your mute status, that'd be awesome. I keep hearing some background noise. So we were in Moscatal at a permaculture. I was offline for 2 weeks at a permaculture certification. So we didn't have any access to phones or anything for 2 weeks or meetings. And it was amazing and wonderful. And I'm so grateful to be abstinent. And it's because the gift of this program that I was able to do that, and that I had my meals. They were all buffet, and I'm a vegan, and they made accommodations, and it was wonderful and just a miraculous recovery experience that I will carry in my heart forever. Just so beautiful. My husband and I did it together, and it was such a blessing and a blessing of recovery. I wanted to share that anything is possible. Regarding this paragraph, I was that person, you know, and I started being bulimic at a young age. And from that moment on, it was Russian roulette with food, you know, and I had good memories of food as a child, you know, that it was, I grew up in a lot of child abuse, and it was my number and my, everything's okay if I can just have this item, I'll be fine, you know, and it was my denial mechanism, and then it continued to be that, and then it took over my life, and, you know, I was a low bottom with bulimia, anorexia, and at times just straight on compulsive overeating. To me, it's all the same disease, and it's one recovery for me. I'm so eternally grateful for these meetings, for a vision for you, for I had so much money in the bank in this program that, you know, I was sustained for 2 weeks working my recovery without being able to be online. And it's really great to hear all of your voices today. God bless everybody. It was a really blessed afternoon day. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.
Good morning. This is Tamara C. I'm grateful to be recovered today, and I am calling from California. I'm really grateful to be getting to share this morning. I can just identify with everything in this paragraph and everything everyone has said. This is just really is a good description of me. What I'm learning is that I can be happy for normal eaters that gathering together around a meal, like, you know, breaking bread together, provides them opportunity to connect in a special way, and it brings joy and satisfaction into their lives. And I'm learning that I can also accept that I'm different. For me, food cannot be entertainment. I can't afford that. It's not for me. If it's about the food, then I'm not connecting with the people that I love. And there's only pain, and there's certainly never satisfaction. I'm just chasing an effect and never finding it. Food used to be my friend and my solution, and then it turned on me, and like Bill says, you know, all that cut me to ribbons, because I'm just never finding that satisfaction anymore. And in the last days of me being in my disease, food just never made me feel satisfied or happy, and I still couldn't stop. I knew it wasn't going to be my solution anymore, but I was so desperate to numb the pain, I just kept trying. So I'm so grateful for our solution and the spiritual action that, you know, we're given directions in the big book, like here's what to do to work the steps. And I believe that my higher power has worked a miracle for me through that, and that I'm becoming spiritually awake. And I'm learning. I'm still learning it. It's still, like, awkward for me to to go attend a social gathering that's centered around food. I'm still learning how do I navigate that? How do I plan? How do I bring my food? What do I say if people ask? And it's just all a learning process for me. But I'm not alone. I have my sponsor who can share her experience, strength, and hope. I have my recovered fellows, and I get to always take my higher power with me. And my relationship with my higher power today is where I find my solution and my satisfaction and joy. And I'm just really, really grateful for that. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Kathy, it may just be me, but I can't hear you at all. This is Melanie.
Moderator, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes, can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not sure what happened. So, Cameron C., thank you for your share. And now I can take up to 5 more names for further shares. Who would like to share?
Barbara G.
Linda G.
Okay, I heard Linda G. I didn't hear the 2 names before that. I'm sorry?
Leslie.
Leslie, your last initial?
M, as in Mary. Thank you.
Mary. Leslie M. Linda G.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Laura K.
Laura K. And we may have time for a fifth. Is there anybody
Teresa
else?
Teresa C.
Teresa C. Okay, thanks so much. Okay, Leslie M., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy K. Thank you so much for your service. This is Leslie M., a compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And this part here was talking to me this morning. There was an insistent yearning to enjoy life as we once did and a heartbreaking obsession that some new miracle of control could enable us to do it. There was also always one more attempt and one more failure. And the reason that I'm, well, one of the reasons that I'm feeling that today is because I broke my abstinence of over 3.5 years last week. And, you know, I'm feeling like, will I ever get this back? You know, and I know that, you know, it happened. I jumped right back in, you know, so I'm already on, you know, I've had 5 days of abstinence. And I'm grateful for that. But I don't know what this recovery is going to look like. And I have to let go of those thoughts that I can do that. And, you know, I was hoping that there wasn't going to be one more attempt and one more failure. However, that was what my story is. And, you know, if I find out the reason for this, that's okay. If I don't find out the reason for this, that's okay too. I have to just remember that that my life has taken this turn for whatever reason, you know, and I have faith that my higher power is going to take me on this journey and you know, make sure that I'm safe and secure. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Kathy, we don't hear you again.
Okay, sorry about that. Thank you, Leslie M. I was also wondering whose dog was barking, but maybe that was Leslie's. If not, whoever has a dog, would you please mute? And our next share is Linda G. Thank you, Linda.
Hi, this is Linda G. from Lenox, Mass., and I'm a compulsive overeater. And this paragraph, just like our previous speaker was just saying, those two lines really spoke to me, especially the one when there's always one more attempt and one more failure. Today I was supposed to start on my step 4, and I didn't realize that it was bringing up so much anxiety, but I broke my abstinence by you know, just eating healthy foods. I didn't go for my trigger foods, but I ate outside of my meal plan. And, you know, I didn't even register that that was a problem until we started working on our fourth step today. And my sponsor said to me that, no, we need to take a couple of days of abstinence and, you know, rework everything. And you need to, you know, go to a meeting and share. And I'm also realizing that I need to rely more on my higher power to get me through those anxiety moments and the ease and comfort that my healthy foods were giving to me isn't a substitute for my higher power. So I learned a lesson today. And that's all I wanted to do, just to share and let you know that I'm still struggling. So thank you.
Thank you, Linda G. Deborah G., please share with us.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you, Kathy, so much for your lead chair and all those that have made this meeting possible today. And all the shares, thank you. Thank you for all the shares. And, you know, the delusion I lived in with this delusion of thinking that I had companionship and all the delusional, colorful imagination that I would make up in my head because I was so into the food. You know, that was all that I was looking for was the food. That's all that I was desiring to keep shoving down all those emotional disturbances, keep shoving them down and doing the food, and then realizing, oh, this tastes so good. And, you know, and I was never present. All those colorful imaginations, companionships, none of that was going on. I was never connected. I was only focused on the food. You know, and I didn't want to feel anything. I wanted to get free of the emotional cares and boredoms and worries and all that, and never felt, never experienced that intimacy with friends and feeling that life was good. The food was good to me. That was my good. That's what I was looking for. Not that my life was good, because that was what I was pushing down, all that stuff going on with my life, the unmanageability in my life. Keep food. And then those days of finally awakening from that sleep, from that unconsciousness. You know, I'm so grateful for that. And having the life that I have today, and I'm not in the food, and having the relationships, having the companionship. It's just wonderful. And I will share that I would go and have all those attempts to control, try to make it different, try to do this, you know, all those insanity behaviors that I did to try and deal with this, you know, when I couldn't, that brought me, and I'm grateful for all of that, because it brought me to that honesty with myself of having no power. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. Laura K., please share with us.
Hi, my name is Laura K., and I'm from Marysville, California. And it's been a little while since I've been on this meeting talking to you guys. I listen every day. Thank you all for all the shares. They are so fantastic. When I think of what was read, I wasn't present. All I was thinking and looking at was what everyone else had on their plate around me. How can she eat that? Oh my gosh, how can they throw away that much food? I have to finish mine. Oh, well, maybe if they don't throw it away, I'll find a way to sneak back and get that off their plate. And I just simply was not present. And, you know, I went as far as one more attempt and one more failure. I tried. I even went as far as having gastric bypass. And I'm not saying that didn't work, but the mental obsession did not stop. All I could think about was, well, once I get the gastric bypass, I'll be skinny, I won't want food, but that's not true. You still are feeling your feelings, and I have always eaten my feelings. Happy, sad, mad, glad, it didn't matter. It was time to eat. And I also ate outside my meal plan, you know, recently. I kind of rejoined in January of this year. And I've been a member of Overeaters Anonymous since October 2016. But I didn't start really taking it seriously until January of 2021. And that's when I've been working the steps, and they have helped so much. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now I can attend potlucks if I want, and I can eat my food, and it's just really good. And I love hearing the shares, and thank you so much. I'll keep coming back, and I will pop.
Thanks so much, Laura K. And Teresa C., please share with us.
Hello, everyone. Teresa C. from New Jersey, compulsive overeater and food addict in recovery for today. When this paragraph was being read, I just had this picture in my mind of what's coming up in a couple of weeks, and that's, you know, the celebration of the holidays at my sister's house. And She loves to put out a pre-dinner spread, which has in the past just been such a terrible place for me, food-wise. And it just has me picture, you know, everybody around there and how when I'm focused on the food, as so many other people said, I'm just not even caring what's going on, what conversations are going on, or what's happening in other people's lives. I just can picture myself so focused on that food and knowing that if I take one bite, I will be the one to, like, finish that bowl. Everybody else will be, you know, they'll have a little serving of this or that, but I'll be the one that finishes it and just can't stop. So I have been thinking about that situation recently, doing a lot of praying and hoping that, you know, since the last time I've been through my 12 steps and the vision, I've, sponsored a couple of people. So, and I'm really concentrating on living 10, 11, and 12, and knowing that my higher power is going to be there and that my focus is how I can be of service to the others there. And eating that food is not being of service to them in any way or myself. So I really plan on focusing on conversations with people and really, you know, having a deeper and more intimate relationship with the people that are around there. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Teresa C. Well, it looks like it's time for us to begin closing this meeting. Thank you, everyone who shared and everyone who listened. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Lois P., would you please read A Vision for You?
Yes, Kathy, with great pleasure and gratitude. Thank you. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We will be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.